that Paul says in Romans 13 and verse 13. He said, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in immorality and not wantonness, not in strife and envying. So in order for you to overcome, he says, walk. You know what this word walk means? He said, let us walk. You know what walk is in the Bible? It refers to your way of life. Okay?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Envy, Subduing the Green-Eyed Monster. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Envy, Subduing the Green-Eyed Monster.
When you are envious, when you are jealous of somebody else, just think of this lady here that we talked about early on, that she hired a hitman to kill this other girl's mother and the girl. Why is that? Because she was so eaten up with jealousy. She was so eaten up with envy that it was just chiseling away at her spirit. It was chiseling away at her character. So we see that defilement. You become defiled when you don't deal with jealousy in your life. Discord. James 3:16 says, for where envy is, there is strife, and there is confusion and every evil work. If there is a lot of envy among the saints, then what do you see? You see a lot of discord and you see a lot of jealousy. When people don't get their way, what do? They start trouble. They start confusion because they're not getting what they want, because they desire a certain thing. They desire to have it a certain way. They're envious. They're jealous of something. And then they begin to start problems in a family. Now, this becomes no more evident than when somebody dies and they leave a little something-something to other people. Now, what happens in these situations? Instead of it being a time when family come together and love one another, encourage and support one another, it becomes a time of discord. Why? Because people are jealous. Well, you know, I went and I washed mom every day. You know, they came over once a week. I think I deserve more. Why should they get more than me? Or you know what? See, you know, you got a bad memory. You don't remember years ago when I was there for mom and you wasn't there, right? So, I mean, you get into all this stuff. And why is that? It's because of jealousy. It's because of envy that they want what mom or dad had and they don't want the other person to have it. So what happens in a family? Discord comes up. Man, saints, I'm telling you, be on the lookout in your heart that you don't allow this stuff to creep up in your life. You know, man, life is too short for us to walk around being angry with family members. Life is too short for us to walk around being upset and because some stupid thing happened where we all got jealous about something, an inheritance that was left behind. Man, let that stuff go. Let it go. You know, your peace of mind is worth more than that inheritance. Somebody said, well, you don't know, Pastor. discord, division, envy can divide families. Now, you know what? I didn't even realize this until I studied for this message. You know why Joseph's brothers, and it says it twice. It says it in Genesis, and it says it again in Acts. You know why Joseph's brothers sold him, put him in the pit, and secondly, sold him into slavery. You know why they did that? And I always thought that because they were angry or because, you know, they were upset with him. And I went back and read it and got into it. You know why they did it? The Bible specifically says because they were envious of him, because they were jealous of him. And so it divided a whole family because of envy and jealousy. You know what crucified Jesus Christ? It was our sin. But you know one of the main things that crucified Christ? You know what drove the high priest to crucify Christ, to call for his crucifixion? And I never saw this. Mark 15:10, it says that the chief priest had Christ delivered over because of what? And look at that right there, Mark 15:10. For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy, because they were jealous of him. And so if you don't handle envy, what can it lead to? Distraction, defilement, discord, division, or even death. We see, you know, again, going back to my illustration in the beginning with this lady, what was she trying to do? She was trying to kill people, all right? What did they do to Jesus Christ? Because they were envious of him. They killed him. They had him crucified. Now, when you think about envy, the bottom line is that envy is a sign of spiritual immaturity. That if you are envious, I don't care if you're a deacon, deaconess, trustee, choir member, whatever the case might be, that if you have envy in your spirit, that is a sign of spiritual immaturity. All right, look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. If you don't know how to control this spirit, then you are spiritually immature. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with solid food, for this time you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal." And what's carnal means that they're a Christian, but it means that they are a worldly Christian, a fleshly Christian. "For you are yet carnal, for as is among you," what's the first thing there? Envying. Envying. That this is something that's characteristics of spiritually immature people. Envy. And so, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be spiritually immature. I want to be a saint that's growing in Christ, that's strong in Christ, that's overcoming all the works of the flesh. That's my desire. And so, again, you notice I didn't say slaying or killing the green-eyed monster. I said subduing. We got to learn how to subdue it in our lives and not let it take control. Because if we do, it goes back to these five D's, right? If we don't learn how to subdue this green-eyed monster, then this is what happens. And we see it all the time. So as we come to the end of the message, the last point, how do we overcome envy? How do you overcome envy? Five things. Very practical. Very practical. That if you are dealing with envy, I'm giving you five things here today that you can do to go and overcome this spirit that's in you. First of all, you got to live to please God. That Paul says in Romans 13 and verse 13. He said, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in immorality and not wantonness, not in strife and envying." So in order for you to overcome, he says, walk. You know what this word walk means? He said, "Let us walk." You know what walk is in the Bible? It refers to your way of life, okay? My walk is with the Lord. I'm walking with the Lord. I'm not walking with Satan. I'm not walking with worldly friends. I'm not walking with evil companions, but I'm walking with the Lord. "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And so we need to walk. We need to walk in the way of the Lord. If we're going to please God and we walk in his way, then we will not have a spirit of envy. The second thing that we need to do is we need to feed the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. It says here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, that there is a war that is going on, and it is a war between the flesh and the Spirit. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that I would." There's a war that's going on inside of us. Put my monster back up there again. There's a war going on inside of us. There's a war with this green-eyed monster. And he's trying to overcome your life. He's for you. You got the Holy Spirit within you. You got saved, and when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. And so now you got the Holy Spirit, and you got this green-eyed monster, and they're fighting, with one another. And there's a struggle that's going on. And guess which one is going to win? The one that you fed. The one that you feed. Now, I've told the story before about the man that had the two dogs, right? He would take them down every day and bet on them in the market square. And he would get others to bet on them. And he would always bet on the one that would win. And somebody said, "Well, how do you know which one is going to win all the time?" He said, "It's very simple. The one I feed is the one that's nourished, the one that's healthy, and that's the one that wins every time." Hey, saints, it's the same thing. It's the same thing in the Christian life, that if we will feed the Spirit, come on, Pastor. Now you talking out there by pie in the sky. How do you feed the Spirit? You feed the Spirit by doing just what you're doing right now, coming to the house of God, hearing the Word of God. That's one way you feed your Spirit. Another way you feed your Spirit, get into the Word of God, read the Word of God. How do you feed your Spirit? Listen to the songs of God. Sing the praises. Sing the hymns. Sing the spiritual songs of God. How do you feed the Spirit of God? Fellowshipping with the saints. Iron sharpening iron. How do you feed the Spirit of God? Coming before Him in prayer. There are many ways that we feed the Spirit. We build up the Spirit in our life. But if we are doing the things that are of the world, if we are doing the things that are of the flesh, then the flesh will win. Every time that monster, if you're dealing with envy, every time that monster will win. Now, if we go on, what are some of the works of the flesh? He says in verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh manifest are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, and what? Jealousy, envying." All right? Strife, envying, jealousy. So we see that this is a work of the flesh. And in order for you to overcome, you have to feed the Spirit. Number three, spend time in God's presence. Go back to Psalm 73. Spend time in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 73. He says in verse 2, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone, and my steps had almost slipped." He said, man, I was almost through with this life with God. He said, I was almost done. Why? Because I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And then drop down to verse 17. Look what he says there. He says that until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. How did he get right? How did he deal with envy in his life? He went into the presence of the Lord. He sat before the Lord. He let the Lord minister to his heart. He let the Lord minister to his spirit. You know how he did this? He went before the Lord and he said, "Lord, I have a spirit of jealousy. Lord, I have a spirit of envy that's in me. And Lord, this spirit is distracting me from my walk with you. Lord, this spirit is causing me to be drawn back into the world. This spirit is causing me to follow the wrong people. Lord, this spirit of envy that's in me, Lord, is overtaking me, is overcoming me, Lord. I need you to help me. And Lord, I'm coming into your presence right now, and I'm asking you, Father, for strength. I'm asking you for help. I'm asking you for deliverance. I'm asking for you to help me to deal with this green-eyed monster." What did the psalmist do? He came into the presence of the Lord. He said that this thing was troubling me, and I almost slipped until I got alone with God. And then when I got alone with God, I was able to talk to God, and he was able to talk me through this thing. He was able to talk me down off of the ledge. You know, I'm out here because of wicked folk. You know, we were coming, man, this was deep. We were crossing yesterday the Verrazano Bridge in New York, going from Brooklyn to Staten Island. And there's a sign that says, before you jump, call this number. You know, there's nothing worth jumping. And I'm like, whoa, you mean to tell me that was deep? There must be a lot of folk that just can't take things anymore. And the Verrazano Bridge, I don't know if you've ever rode across it, but man, that is an intimidating bridge. I mean, just riding up onto the Verrazano Bridge it's like awesome. You look like this. You say, man, am I getting ready to ride across this thing? And so evidently, you know, it's people jump. And there's a sign that says, before you jump, call this number. There's nothing worth jumping. And I was like, man. And you know, that's almost where the psalmist is at. The psalmist has said, man, I was almost gone. He said, this thing almost took me out. I was almost through. Until what? I came into the sanctuary of God. Until I came into the presence. And then what did God do? God talked me off the bridge. He talked me off the ledge. He talked me down. See, that's the problem with a lot of people. They're not letting God talk them down. I mean, they're not letting God talk them down from their situation. Their situation becomes so overwhelming that they see no other way out. But they need to come into the presence of God, and they need to let God talk them down. Lord, is my thinking right here? Lord, am I thinking correctly here? And God will be able to talk you down out of that situation. Spend time in the presence of God. Let your heart be filled with the love of God. What do we mean here? You don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says that love envies not. Love is not jealous. So if my heart is filled with the love of God, you know, and my neighbor is blessed with something, then I can say, man, praise God, you know. Man, you've been blessed. You know, I won't be like the guy, man, he hated he had a business. And there was a guy across the street that had the same business. And he hated this guy. I mean, he hated him with a passion. And all of a sudden, you know, he got this magic lamp one day, and he rubbed it, and the genie said, you know, I'll grant you whatever wish that you want. He said, the only thing is that your neighbor or the guy across the street, he's going to get double of what you have. And so the guy thought, and he thought for a minute, and he said, well, my wish, make me blind in one eye. Right? He hadn't dealt with that spirit of jealousy, right? Nothing is worth that. He was willing to sacrifice his own, one of his eyes. So what? His neighbor would be blind. See, and we think, well, you know, Pastor, that's kind of like a far-off illustration. No, not really. Not really. You know, let me ask you the question. Has anybody ever been blessed and you got jealous? Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to say amen. I know that it's true. There's not a whole lot of things I know, but I know that. I know that there's been somebody that got blessed and you were jealous. You might have been a child. You might have been an adult. But you know what? That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, fill your heart with agape love. Fill your heart with the love of God. Because if you have love in your heart, when something good happens to somebody that you don't even like, because you got agape love, you're able to say, well, you know what? That's good for them. You know, I mean, you might not get out there and throw a party and dance in the street, but you're able to say, you know what? That's good for them, that they were blessed. See, and then what are you doing? You're keeping your spirit in check. And then finally, you got to train yourself in contentment. Now, here's where you need to work on your children. You need to train your children in contentment. Because they got this monster inside of them. And if the parent doesn't train, the problem is the parent is feeding the monster instead of training the child. Look at, and I'm done. I'm done after this. You say, we need to move on off of this one. Who turned in this one on envy and jealousy? Who turned in that slip? We want to see them after church. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Now, this is deep. I'm going to show you something in this verse that you have never seen before, or maybe you have. Philippians 4, verse 11. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am in this to be content. He said that I've learned how to be content. The word learn comes from a Greek word that means schoolmaster. What would happen in the life of a lot of Jewish young men? That their parents, especially the father, would hire a schoolmaster to come in and work with the young man. Now, whatever the trade was, whatever the desire was, that the schoolmaster would come in and spend an extraordinary amount of time during the life of this child, training them in the way that they were supposed to go. Paul says, we can drop the word learned, and we could even put in this word. He says, I have been trained that in whatever state I am, to be content. See, notice what he didn't say. All of a sudden, God dropped contentment down from the sky. Notice that he didn't say, one day I woke up and all of a sudden I was content. Notice that he didn't say that. He said, I have learned, I have trained, I have been trained by a schoolmaster. My experiences, my trials, my tribulations, they have been my schoolmaster, and they have taught me that in whatever state I am, to be content. And so, my brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today that if you want to control that green-eyed monster in your life, that you've got to train yourself in contentment. You've got to train yourself that, is this something that I want because somebody else has it? Is this something that my kids want because they see it? You know what? You know one thing? A child will want everything they see. You get some of these commercials on TV, right, with this flashy stuff and all this stuff, and just sit down. Do you want that? Yeah, I want that. I want that. Do you want? Yeah, I want that. That's why, you know, again, I believe in blessing the children. I believe that they should have things. I'm not saying that. But where do the parents, I'm just asking this question, where do the parents work on contentment? What parents are sitting down teaching their children? Yeah, well, you know, you're going to have a nice Christmas. You know, you're going to get some of the things that you want. But, you know, where else are we teaching them contentment? Because this green-eyed monster is not taking a break. The green-eyed monster is not laying back. The green-eyed monster is not saying, well, look, you know, we don't need any flashy commercials with toys or anything anymore. He's not saying that, all right? So, you know, my thing is, that as the saints of God, please, let us learn how to subdue this green-eyed monster, because it's taking a lot of folk out of here. That's why, you know, there are people in jail today because of the green-eyed monster. Whether they robbed from somebody, whether they killed somebody, whether they committed extortion, whatever the case might be, that there are people in jail today because of the green-eyed monster, because they couldn't subdue the green-eyed monster. We might not end up in jail, but we might end up in a whole lot of other predicaments if we don't learn how to subdue the green-eyed monster.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Good News from Heaven. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Envy, Subduing the Green-Eyed Monster, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Envy, Subduing the Green-Eyed Monster. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Envy, Subduing the Green-Eyed Monster. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.